So let me ask you, for the number of years you have been with Jesus, does it become obvious to someone when they talk with you? Does it become obvious to someone when they talk with you that you and you and you and me, we have been with Jesus? Or when you open your mouth, they wonder if you had been with Jesus.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Let's pray. Father, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds, unfold truth to our hearts today as we study. Help us, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. So we have established that the book of Acts teaches us about how a church functions or how an individual functions when the Holy Spirit is in their lives. Amen. We live in what I call a society where Christians are being made fun of. Is that true? And these days, they don't make fun of us in the closet. They do it out in the open. Sometimes you should stand up and speak up. And there are other times you should be quiet. Much as boldness is a virtue, restraint is also a virtue. I have learned over the years to sometimes restrain myself. I remember it was one time somebody was doing something and I called him. I said, "You think I haven't seen it and you think I'm afraid. I am not. The only reason I'm not minding you is that I don't have a release from the Spirit of God to say anything to you. But just so you know, because the day I open my mouth, it won't be good." You must learn restraint, but when it's time to speak up, you must also what? The only person who can tell us when to be quiet and when to speak up is the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? Because if you judge it on your own, you can make mistakes. That sometimes you will speak when you're supposed to be quiet, and then when you are supposed to speak, you are quiet. And so I want you, we're going to study a lesson, and you see how the Holy Spirit led Peter and John to speak at the time that something was going on. I call it a government-sponsored persecution. And today there's government-sponsored persecution going on everywhere. Amen. Our kids are afraid to say they are Christians. Why? Because somebody would single them out. Kids, today I want to empower you with the tools to stand up and speak up. Did you hear what I said? Stand up and what? Speak up. So this lesson is not only for adults, it is for every single one of us. So we will use as a subject, Spirit-empowered boldness. And when I say Spirit, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, all right? Spirit-empowered boldness or Spirit-empowered courage, that you will speak only when God wants you to speak. The book of Acts chapter 4, And I'll be reading the first verse all the way to the 22nd verse. We will take it in bits so that it will be easier for us to be able to comprehend this truth. Now, whilst you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 4, let me give you a little background to the story that we're about to read today. Acts chapter 4, from verses 1 all the way to verse 22. All right. Peter and John, you all remember, had come to the beautiful gate. They met the man who was crippled from his mother's womb. The scripture says the guy was more than 40 years. He's been crippled more than 40 years. And he asks, "Hey, guys, give me something." Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and what? walk. After the guy walks, they are in the temple. We are told that they are what you call the colonnade, Solomon's colonnade in the temple. It was a five-column area, like on the balcony. And whilst they were standing there with this man who has been healed, people began to rush in. And Peter says, don't look at us as if it is through our own power and our own holiness. He was referring to the fact that whatever had taken place was an act of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the scripture says, whilst they were talking to the people, something happens. The priest and the captain of the soldiers and the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin, they come to arrest Peter and John. So let's pick up the reading. We'll read the first seven verses together. As they speak unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold, or simply they put them in prison, unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes. How many groups of people have I mentioned? I wanted to see how many groups of people these guys are facing. I talked about the priest, the captain of the temple. If the captain himself is coming, it means the guards are also there. Are you with me? And the Sadducees, or what I call the Sadducees. Then we find here how many groups of people? Three more, right? He says that it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, the elders, and the scribes. Verse 6, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? So I wanted to see that these guys have been arrested and they are standing trial. Everybody say standing trial. If you ever been into a law court, you will notice that most lawyers, when they want to get you to say something other than what you believe in, they use the tactics of intimidation. Have you ever been in a courtroom and see intimidation being used? The purpose of intimidation is simply to put fear in you. Everybody listen very carefully to me. And if you can write it down, write it down. The enemy, the political system, the school system, many people are simply driving fear into our hearts so we will never speak the truth. It is a satanic way of doing things. And I want us as believers to understand something. Write this down. Anytime the devil wants you to choose between obeying God and human authorities, he will strike fear in your heart. Anytime Satan wants to have his way and force you as a believer to obey human authorities instead of God, you would make sure that you are intimidated. They strike fear in your heart. And as long as you are afraid, you will not obey God. Did you guys understand that? Write this down. You, as a believer, you are someone who claims you believe in God. Your faith will be tested. I said your faith will be? Never assume that you will run through life and the fact that you are claiming God is a healer. You will find that somebody around you is sick. And no matter how you pray, they are sick. Your faith will be tested. God will supply all my needs. That statement will be tested. I am above and not beneath. It will be whatever you believe in will be tested. And when those testing moments come, never walk in fear, else you will never see a breakthrough in that area. Amen. And the essence of today's lesson is to show you how to walk in boldness. Only the Holy Spirit can empower you to walk in that level of boldness that stands in the face of opposition and simply say, forget it. I am not going to give in to that. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, you remember those three dudes? What happened? The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image. And he tells them, the satraps, the magistrates, the sheriffs, everybody was in on it. You see, that is how the enemy works. He makes sure that the very thing that he's going to use to drive fear in you, everybody is in it. And then he tells these three boys, at the sound of the trumpet, you bow. And the guy says, no, we're not going to do it. So he says, if you don't do it, we kill you. What is the purpose of the fire? Was to drive fear in them. So they look at it and said, Nebu, we don't care. Whether you get as burned in this furnace or not, we will not bow. It was their ability to say, we are not afraid of whatever is coming, that is what made them obey God. Are you guys with me? As a child of God, if you die for God, you will end up in his presence. Never save your face. Never face yourself. Because you are always given a chance to the devil to drive you to hell. Don't waste all these years you've been serving him. Because of a brief moment, you wanted to save yourself. Are you guys with me? We must stand up as God's people. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can hit it seven times. Because what was he hitting it for? He said, people, did you even see the soldiers who got close? Some are burned. What are you waiting for? I don't have time to go to Daniel 3, but I would have shown you how many groups of people were in on it. And sometimes you would see that something is happening. The politicians are in on it. Democrats, Republicans. Every single one you know is in on it. Your teachers at school are in on it. And they are asking you, what is this church that you go? What is this Jesus that you claim you are serving, that you alone wants to be separate? Stand up and be counted that I will not be coerced into doing things that God does not favor it. Are you guys understanding me? Their faith were tested. But God came through for them. Jesus is a second example. He stands before Pontius Pilate. And what does Pontius Pilate ask him? Are you the king of the Jews? Because he's claimed he's a king. And if you are a king, that will be tested. Anything you say that you believe in, it will be tested. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, it was Paul telling Timothy, his protege. He tells him to do three things. He said, there are things you ought to flee from. There are things you ought to follow. Then there are things you need to fight. And in talking about what to fight, he says, you must fight the faith fight. Because your faith will be tested. And he mentions Jesus. And he says, Jesus who stood before Pontius Pilate. And what did Jesus do? He gave a good what? Confession. If you were asked by a teacher in a classroom, do you stand for this and that and that? I am trusting God that children in this ministry will be able to stand up and say, I don't believe in that because that is not in the Word of God. People will single you out. They won't like you. But God Almighty would always be there for you. If you are looking for people to like you, then you are not ready for this. I am not saying hate people, But I am simply saying, if something is against God's order, it is against God's order, period. Are you guys understanding me? At the workplace, if you are given an option to sign on to a policy or you are fired, which one would you choose? You will be tested. I said you will be what?
Tested.
Everything you say you believe in will be tested. And this is why, as believers, we must come to that place of understanding. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at two verses. From verses 11 to verse 12, I said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. These days, believers don't even want to hear that because we think it's all prosperity. Please stop lying to yourself. Peter did not have a house. He made it to heaven. You don't need to have a house to go to heaven. Are you understanding me? I am not against money. We need it to do work. But sometimes the pursuit of it makes you walk away from God. Verse 12, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. So if they persecuted the prophets before us, you will be persecuted at some point. And the truth is, people in America are not persecuted. Ours is just opposition. Sickness, heart attack. It's not persecution. Real persecution is people who are arrested because they preach the gospel, and sometimes they are sawn with a saw into two. That is persecution. And the way this world is going, we might come to that place that we might be in this building and they will be here to say who stands for Christ. You don't want to hear the truth, but I will always tell you the truth. And we must stand up and say, we stand for Jesus. We stand for who?
Jesus.
Whatever you keep saying, I believe in God. It will be tested. I am telling you. There will be a season in your life you realize everything you believe in is not working. And it's not because Satan is winning. It is because your faith is being what? Tested. Unfortunately, that's the time many believers walk away from God. Look there with me, Mark chapter 13. Look at the 13th verse. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Are you understanding the verses I'm quoting? Luke chapter 21, look at from verse 12 to 19. But before all this, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. I know somebody, Pastor, I thought you were going to preach about my bills. Listen, your bills ends here when you die. I want to challenge you about some eternal things. He says, you will be arrested. They will persecute you. They will deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons. And they will bring you before kings. And they will bring you before rulers. Modern day, they will bring you before prime ministers and presidents of nations. Why? Because you chose to stand for the truth. Verse 13, Luke 21. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. This King James language simply means when they deliver you in the presence of these people, that is the time for you to talk about your testimony that you serve a great God. Look at verse 14. He says, settle it therefore. Make up your mind. Settle it in your heart. Settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Because if you are standing for the Lord will give you the words to say. This is where the Holy Spirit comes. Now, you guys understanding me? So some of us, we want the Holy Spirit, but you don't want to suffer. The Holy Spirit does not reign in the area of where people don't want to do anything for him. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents. Did you hear that? That a child will stand for righteousness so much that their own parents will betray them. You know, when you read these things, don't take it for granted because it is going to come. Didn't the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Is this something to come or is it already here? It's already here. I call it, we have become addicted to self and allergic to God. Wake up, child of God. This world ends somewhere. You are not here forever. One day you will be gone. And it matters where you're going because it is eternity. You sitting there, you are an eternal being. You die, that's it. Wherever you are there forever. So you are in perpetual happiness or you are in perpetual suffering. The choice must be made now. We must live for the Lord. And you shall be betrayed by parents and brethren. Wow. Your own family? And kinsfolk and friends. Some of you, my friends are the best thing. How do you call the one, the B? Yeah, your own BFF will betray you at some point. And they shall cause you to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You shall be by who? Including women too. But they shall not an hair of your hair perish. In your patience possess ye your soul. I want to remind you that just as Peter and John were intimidated, if you take time and you study, you realize that there was 11 groups of people. Annas the high priest, Caiaphas was the former high priest. You remember during the time of Jesus being tried, the same group of people, they were all there. 11 groups of people gathered there. And they put these two men who had never been educated, except that they've been with Jesus. You will find that later on. And they were intimidating them. When people start to intimidate you, what would they see out of you? That you read a bunch of books? Or that you have been with Jesus? What was their problem? Their problem was not with the miracle of healing. Please pay attention. They were not troubled by the man that was healed. But when they started to preach in the name of Jesus, that the Jesus they had killed, and then they buried him, and now there is no body to show, no physical, not the bones are not anywhere to show. Remember, it was the Sanhedrin, the group of people who did not believe in the resurrection. And here Peter is saying, you didn't believe he came back to life, but he's alive, and he's the reason for which this man is healed. Sometimes people will tell you you are. I often say to people, you claim God is not alive, yet you still believe that somebody told you you have brains and you have never seen it, yet you believe it's there. How many of you have seen your intestines? How many of you? Any hand? Yet you believe they are there. There's only one thing you can actually testify it is there. What is that? It's your heart because you can hear it beat. The rest, you are believing what somebody else is saying. And it's amazing how we believe what scientists and other people will say, but choose to reject the word. One day you will know that this world did not come by itself. The King of Glory created this world for his own purpose, and he will judge all humanity, both small and great. And what you do now matters. I stand before you today to remind you, let's ask him to come into our lives. Amen. Let's ask him to what? Come into our life. Let's continue the reading, Acts chapter 4. Now let's see, when they intimidated these guys, let's see what happens. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, Come on. I need you to go all the way back to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. You all remember that when the same group of people gathered, those 11, gathered to question Jesus, Peter was there. You all remember? What was Peter doing? Peter was watching from a distance. Peter was afraid. Even to the point when a little girl asked Peter, "I know you, you are one of his disciples." What did Peter say? He said, "I think it's my twin." I'm just making that part up. Right? I think, it's not me. Peter was afraid. Fast forward, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends, and this Peter is now confronting the elders. He's not running away again. That is how the Holy Spirit can empower you with so much boldness. May the Spirit of God rest and abide on you all. Peter is now speaking. Let's continue reading. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua Anasar, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." In other words, he's saying, listen, everything that has happened because of Jesus Christ. The very one you crucified, the very one you killed, but God raised him from the dead. And Peter is saying, this dude is actually the chief cornerstone. But you rejected him. "This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Amen. You and I are not facing the Sanhedrin, but we are facing people who want to cancel us out. The young people understand that language better. Have you heard young people say, "I cancel you out"? We live in a cancel culture. If you don't tolerate something, they cancel you out. And they have canceled Christians out. But we are still here. The only way our presence will be felt is when the Holy Spirit is right on the inside. Because our words are not enough. It is the power of the Spirit that makes things what happen. We are not facing a surrendering, but we are facing a people who wants to cancel us out. Why? Because we believe in eternal things. Child of God, you need the Holy Spirit who will give you the boldness to resist government-sponsored ideologies. Government-sponsored what? If somebody was not trying to sell a little bit more medications, I'm talking about Big Pharma. Do you understand Big Pharma? Pharmaceutical companies. Pouring money into places just so certain things stand. May God Almighty bring judgment on you until you repent. Amen. Pastor, you could have been nice. I just was nice by saying if you don't repent, judgment comes. Repent is nice. Peter and John could resist the religious and the political system of his day with confidence because they believe in Christ, who held the supreme authority, and they operated in the power of God. Every single one of us must learn to operate in God's power.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. Or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.